Hello, guys. Welcome to Who the Fuck Knows with Emily Rose. I'm Emily Rose. And before we get started, I wanted to give you guys a little information on today's episode. I have my friend Elena with me, and we talk all about everything, right? So this is actually going to be a two-parter because we went on for 2 hours, and I thought you guys might appreciate something a little more condensed. So the first half of this episode, or what you're listening to today, which, by the way, if you're listening on March 31st, you're listening on my birthday. So happy birthday to me. Thank you very much. You guys know what to do to support me, my Cash App, my Buzzsprout subscription page, all on my show notes. So that's just a little plug for you. And also download this episode. So I talked to Elena about lots of the VPR news. I wanted to go ahead and just give you guys a couple of updates first, right? So Sheena Shea did end up going to court on Wednesday, and the case against her, the temporary restraining order, was dropped. So that's good news. We have gotten a quasi another statement from Tom Sandoval, who basically just said, like, yeah, it was a mistake. I should have handled it better, which, no shit, Sherlock. Let's see what else. And we did get a new episode since we recorded this episode that was done the other Wednesday night on the 29th. So just wanted to let you guys know that this will not cover that episode or any of the developments since. I have not listened to many podcasts or anything this week, so I'm not sure if there's more news. I did break in this podcast episode with Elena the revelation that apparently Raquel and Tom did have sex outside of Ariane and Tom's home after the Mondrian that night. So that's interesting. And yeah, also just really quick, I've had a couple of people ask me about covering Summer House. No, I'm good on that. I'll tell you why. First of all, the Martha's Vineyard Summer House trailer dropped last night. Oh my God. See, this is what Summer House is missing. Allow me to rant really quickly. Summer House had a shtick of these people that are friends, that are young professionals, kind of get wild and crazy on the weekends. And not that they turn into different people, but that, like, we would basically, like, we would never know that these, like, together in New York young adult professionals are out here in the Hamptons every weekend getting nasty crazy. Okay. And many people, most of them were single, so they were kind of like hooking up. There was drama. And that was what Summer House was about. Now, they don't do that stuff. First of all, I don't find any of these people very interesting. I think Paige and Lindsay are the only interesting people on the show. And, you know, Lindsay apparently is basically being attacked again. And Paige, I just don't have a whole lot of respect for her because she is one of the, you know, hypocrisy acolytes of Bravo. And so she and Lala and a few others are in great company with each other, but it is very difficult for me to watch. I'd much rather watch her on Southern Charm, frankly. So now that we have all these boring ass people in the house together and they're not partying really, they don't have access. You know, part of it was like they have this grandiose house with these awesome themed parties every other weekend. They can't do that anymore because they made asses out of themselves and the city hates them. So I'm just really honestly genuinely disinterested. I see that there are some people that are still finding things to talk about. I do not want to have to scrape the bottom of my soul to analyze something that, in my opinion, just isn't that deep. These people are really, really boring. They have professional jobs. They're getting older. They're in relationships. They don't feel comfortable being party people. And Sierra's been boring. Sierra's been boring from the beginning. She's not an interesting character. So yeah, that's how I feel about Summer House. But in contrast, if you watch that trailer to Martha's Vineyard, that is what we need. We need, first of all, really, really attractive people, okay? Not saying the OG Summer House cast is average, but in comparison, we need really, really attractive people. Sorry, I was just thinking about the Workus twins and, like, I don't know, it's whatever, I was going to be mean. Attractive people, ready to party, and this is the thing, the new cast, the Martha's Vineyard cast, looks so much like friends and people my age that I would hang out with and know and work with. And I don't know anybody like Kyle, Amanda, Lindsay, Carl, Paige. I don't know people like that. So it's really hard for me to watch the show and relate because I'm like, they're not dynamic, interesting people. And the people in Martha's Vineyard, it looks like, are. And the marriage concerns and the way that they, like, from what we can see in the trailer, like, the, you know, friendship being too much, like, it's like friendships with men and women being too much when you're in relationships, respectively, and different, oh God, they all just look like they have different style and different interests, and they're all, it looks so good. And so I'm ready for a new version. And they just look like people my age. I don't know why the OG Summer House cast, even though they are also my age-ish, look so tired and boring and old, even though they really are my age. But there's just something, I think it's just like breathing new life into the franchise, and stakes are high, Summer House OG, because y'all look a mess. And I don't watch Jersey. A bunch of people have asked me that too. I don't care. I don't care about them. I don't like any of those people. Again, it must be like a Northeastern thing, because Roni was really hard for me to get into as well. Now, once I got into it and I realized these people are their very own individual diverse shit shows, I was invested. But in general, I don't get like people from the Northeast. I've never been to New York. I've never been Connecticut, New Jersey. Like, I've never been up there. So I just don't get it, and I don't get their personalities, and I just don't find them inherently interesting. And except for, I do want like to have more, it would be nice to meet more Italian people, because that's just, there's not a whole bunch of Italian people in the South, I guess, or not that I've met, not where I hang out. So that would be cool. But other than that, I don't really get it, and I don't understand their personalities, and I don't understand people that think that Teresa has a personality. That's really genuinely something that I feel very left out about. So there's that. Also, the Atlanta trailer came out. I've been kind of saying for a few months now, Atlanta is going to be a very, we'll have to just wait and see for me. I don't like Drew Sidora, and I really only like Portia, and she's not on the show anymore. Kenny makes me laugh. I'm just not super invested in these women, but it looks like the season might deliver. If Candy finally just loses her shit, I will be 100% invested in the show. Because I'm tired of her little, like, I'm all calm and collected act. She's insane, and I would love for that to come out a little more, because I think it would humanize her for me. So that's out. And then, of course, Real Housewives Ultimate Girls Trip 3. Gotta watch that. You, if you're not watching that, you're missing out. To put down Summer House for a minute, you're torturing yourself with absolutely bland, meaningless content when you could be watching Real Housewives Ultimate Girls Trip 3, which is genuinely interesting. And Leah McSweeney is maybe the most uninteresting. Again, this is the thing. Some people are not good reality television, or some people are for a while and then they're not. Leah's not. And I don't like the way she dresses. Bothers the shit out of me. All right. I think I've gotten all of my feelings out. Sorry, this is a little longer than I anticipated. But you guys are going to really enjoy. So like I said, this first half is just kind of Elaine and I processing, talking about Scandoval, where we're at, our theories, everything like that. Oh, very important note too, because Elena is a psychic. It turns out, it's almost completely confirmed that Schwartz and James are the two that got, almost came to blows, as it were, fisticuffs, if you will, at the reunion. And I had speculated it was maybe Sandoval and Schwartz. Guess not. But yeah, apparently it was James and Schwartz. And we can tell by James's behavior on this most recent episode that we don't talk about in this podcast episode, that James is not pleased with Schwartz. So I think that makes sense. And I'm excited for next week's episode. This week's episode was good too. I'm going to recap that. Guys, I am going to Tampa for my birthday. So we'll see. If God puts it on my heart to record an episode, I will. And yeah, God, I love you guys. Like I said, if you're listening on Friday, March 31st, that's my birthday. So go ahead, subscribe, download. The download, honestly, I'm seeing Cash App, but the download's a better birthday present than anything you could ask for. And, you know, subscribe to my Best Spouts subscription page. That really just helps put back money into the money that I spend to record and edit this podcast. And yeah, that's it. I love you guys. I will talk to you guys later. Here's Elena.
Lighten up your eyes now. Lighten up your eyes. Wait, wait. Lighten up your eyes now. Lighten up your eyes. Through the way.
Hello, hello, hello. Goddamn, goddamn, this is Who the Fuck Knows with Emily Rose. I'm Emily Rose, and I am here today with a very special guest. You all have heard her before if you listened to my podcast. I think, what was it, like a year, 2 years ago, maybe?
Yeah, just...
I think it was maybe a couple of years ago, and you came on to talk to me about... It was over Zoom, and you came on to talk about Bravo and sobriety, because you are now... How long are you sober?
I'll be 3 years in less than 2 weeks.
Congratulations. Well, without any further ado, Elena, how are you?
Great. Finally on the podcast again.
Yes.
After blowing up your phone so much.
Oh, we could have made an episode out of my voice notes between us, I'm sure.
Oh, many, many podcasts.
Yes, God. So how are you doing? How are you in this post-Scandoval world? Guys, we're talking Vanderpump Rules. If you didn't already know, I don't know what you were thinking, honestly. It's all anybody can talk about. We are now in episode 7 is what just aired. I haven't been on the podcast in about a week and a half. Guys, I apologize for that. I've had some personal things. If you've been listening, you know that I've been having personal things. So I'm happy to come back and talk about this. We will be talking a lot about episode 7, but we have to get into the drama of it all. And so here we are. Elena, how are you?
I feel like I'm the same way everybody else has been that's followed Vanderpump Rules.
Yeah.
For ever since season one, to see how everybody in the cast operates with one another. But how am I feeling? I'm shocked.
Yeah.
And now watching everything that we're seeing now, I feel like I can't watch it the same way.
Right.
I mean, no one can watch it the same way.
Right.
It's a turn.
Yeah.
It's a very dark turn that we're seeing. And I feel really bad for Ariana.
Yeah.
I mean, this girl has literally been someone who, like, you can't be mad at ever. Like, yeah. Even in the times that she's arguing with people, it's just like, you never are mad at Ariana. And looking at the dynamics, if you go back to previous seasons, you kind of see how things happen the way they happened. Totally. Not saying it's an excuse, but Tom has always been in the shadows of Ariana.
Yeah.
And we see multiple times where he tries to outshine her. Mm-hmm. Tries being the key word. And I think with this affair that happened, listening to even what Jack said, I mean, he said it, I was thinking it before, but it was nice to hear someone say it, that Raquel was somebody that is going to validate Sandoval.
Yeah.
She is thirsty for spotlight. And now that, you know, her and James are no longer an item, I think that she was scared about her role in Vanderpump Rules.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that necessarily was something where she was like, okay, well, I have to get with somebody.
Right.
Specifically Sandoval. But I think that in a way, and I don't know, this is very deep, but like in a way, they did plan to have like some kind of provocative Scandoval.
Okay.
Happen, but I don't think this is the route that it was supposed to go.
I It's weird because I really don't see Raquel as particularly thirsty, or I didn't see her as particularly thirsty. And it's like when I'm rationalizing, which no one needs. Well, okay, I want to say no one needs it, but it seems like the internet needs a lot of rationalizing. Like they really, and we'll probably talk about this later. And as you know, I'm deep in the Reddit threads, deep online in the whatever. And I've seen things recently that annoy the shit out of me, like people taking random screenshots of her, like smiling and dissecting it and be like, how could you smile at a time like this? And I'm like, okay, well, first of all, she's smiling because she's pleased with herself. So that's for one. But that also doesn't mean that like she's a maniacal, crazy. I just feel like there is a certain like piece of it that should be humanized. That being said, when it was when the PR of it all started to unfold that I realized, oh shit, she is like desperate to be in the mix. And Sandoval certainly is.
Oh yeah.
Or else she's just so deeply manipulative or sorry, easily manipulated and manipulative that like he's like running the show some. I don't want to give him that much credit, and I do believe that women are capable of being just as manipulative and you know, whatever in these situations. So I don't want to be like, oh, she was just manipulated, because that's what she's going to say, right? But when the black eye pictures came out, you know, you were like, I called you. And I was like, girl, you know that, like, that's a cut crease. Like, that's not a black eye. And then later on, it came out that she does, like me, have naturally kind of dark under eyes. The scratch looked pretty legit, and I think it is pretty legit, but I think that a lot of this is her playing up to, like, keeping a good image. And if your priority is a relationship with Sandoval, then your image shouldn't really play into it that much. And if your priority is being a good person, then your image shouldn't play into it. But I guess that's just not her priority, huh?
No, I mean, also, we see people have gone back further to look at like pictures of Raquel with this black eye, and we can see that it's something that she always,
yeah,
with the scratch. And we were talking about it. I was like, yeah, I mean, if Sheena scratched her, it was an accident, and everybody knows about how long Sheena's nails are.
Yeah,
and you know, there was also drinking that night, so. For me, when I look at it, Raquel is taking something and running with it.
Yeah.
And she has no proof. So it's just like, yeah, you have the scratch, but maybe you, you know, rolled your ankle in the midst of being pushed.
Yeah.
And your body went into a certain way where you got scratched by Sheena's nail. I do not see Sheena going and punching this girl.
I don't either. I can see her pushing, and the original thing that I remember or heard or whatever was that Raquel was trying to like pull on Sheena, or like Sheena was trying to walk away or something like that, and Raquel was trying to like pull on her. She was like crying and trying to like hug her, and Sheena pushed her off.
Also, I think we talked about, you know, how we said that the only way. If, let's say, if Sheena punched, let's say that happened, I don't see Sheena just doing that just because, you know, she's defending Ariana.
Yeah.
I see an argument happening, and we see in the show how smart Raquel can be with her mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm assuming, like, just like the whole you don't have a man, thankfully you don't have a man with the Lala thing, I feel like, you know, Raquel probably did say something.
Yeah.
Or that set her off.
Well, and was it you that I said my theory that if she did say something smart enough to get herself smacked or punched or whatever in the moment, it was probably something to the extent, and this is before we saw the mid-season trailer, something to the extent of, you know, who are you to talk? You were a mistress type
right.
thing.
Right.
And I can see that genuinely setting Sheena off, even though she can joke about it.
Right.
I can see her being
I'm not being funny in that moment.
Yeah.
Like, that, there's a time where you can joke about, like, we see something about her talking about the mistress.
Yeah.
Raquel later in one of the episodes.
Yeah.
And I think there's a time, but when you say something and it's not a serious, or it's a serious moment, then no, it's not okay.
Right.
Because we know it's malicious.
Yes. And I can only, I cannot, I gotta say, of all the things, and you can tell me what you think, of all the things that you are most interested in coming out, like when we get the fine details from the mouths of everyone involved, Ariana, Tom, Sheena, Raquel, I think that some people are very interested in, you know, how exactly how Ariana found out. I'm interested in exactly what happened at that bar that night between Sheena and Raquel.
I am interested in that.
Yeah.
And I'm also, I kind of want to get into who, how many people knew? Like,
yeah.
Because we're seeing so many things now come up where people are like, that kind of was weird when I saw them, or, yeah, you know, but I want to know, especially with words traveling around there that quickly.
Yeah.
Who knew that something was going on? I mean, there's only so many times you can go out in public without Ariana and you are on what looks like a double date. If it, like, Schwartz and Joe,
right,
were there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, that's what I'm interested in, because we still are trying to figure out what Schwartz really had to do with it.
Right.
Which, it won't come as a shock to me if he says that he knew 2 months after, you know?
It wouldn't surprise me if Sandoval called him that night and said, dude, I really fucked up, man. I don't know what to do, man. Like, I can see, like, I can see Schwartz having known the whole time. I've made no secret out of believing that Lala has known for longer. And I kind of, there's a piece of me, because there's just been this piece of me that just wants to not hate Lala as much as I do. Like, I don't want to feel the way that I feel about her, okay? But it would make sense if all of this miserable ass behavior that she's displaying towards Raquel was rooted in knowing something a little deeper. And I don't know, like, I just feel like she knew something, but then we see in the mid, or so we see this in the mid-season trailer, but we've also found out since that apparently Allie, James's girlfriend, did in the season before Scandoval, so the episodes that we're going to see before the most recent taping, Allie said, you know, I saw Sandoval and or Raquel out at this bar, very cozy, and they were really weird. And it kind of gets brushed off as like, oh, well, we know Raquel has, like, a crush on Sandoval. So apparently that's where the direction is going to be headed with this. But, like, in now that I'm hearing this and I'm putting together, like, what is the angle going to be? Pre-Scandoval, what was the angle going to be? Okay, we've built a case for Raquel has a thing for Schwartz. Raquel has a thing for Oliver. She has a thing. There's one more guy.
Peter was like drifted in there for a second.
Like, guys that are either already attached or have had some sort of attachment to the Vanderpump girls. And what I can see happening is Katie and Lala running with a rumor that there was something between her and Sandoval, and being like, see, she's just getting close to Sandoval because she just wants, you know, people's men. Had Scandoval never happened, we would be like, bitch, that's a reach. Like, right. That is a reach. Right. Like, she's friends with Ariana. Exactly. And why would, you know, like, they're close because Tom Sandoval is the only one who ever defends you against you crazy bitches. But now we know, maybe Allie, savvy bitch, really picked up on something there.
She's into astrology, so,
yeah.
I mean,
maybe the cards.
Stars were telling her.
Oh,
something.
Lord. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, listen, there's a lot. There's There's a lot that we're going to have to find out in these upcoming weeks. And I am just, well, I told you when you got here, I just found out via the Reality Bites podcast, I believe is the name of it. Apparently, and I want to get into this because I want to get into the timeline. Apparently, the night of the Mondrian boys' night, guys' night, which we opened this episode with, and we already know that that's allegedly when it started, according to people close to whatever, that night, I guess maybe Raquel was too drunk to drive home. She left her car at the Mondrian. Sandoval is driving Ariana's car that night, drives Raquel back to Sandoval and Ariana's house, and they fucked in the car outside of the house.
It kind of gives validation to James.
Yeah.
It gives so much validation to James, like that right there.
Yeah.
Because we heard him say that they have slept with each other while Ariana is in the house.
Yep.
And I'm like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Full circle of people doing crazy, wild shit mm-hmm. while their partner is literally a wall away.
Yep.
Also, him saying that they, what was the other part that he said, that they had sex while she was gone?
Yeah.
I feel like that.
Yes. And that she was going to the shows, and which we already know now is true. It is crazy how many of those shows she went to.
Yeah. We see different videos coming out where she's by herself or like without Ariana, she's at the show. And I still understand the thought process behind it all. It was like you're going out in public and people know who you, well, anybody who watches Bravo, Vanderpump,
yeah,
they know who you are.
Yeah.
And then, but you have no, like, I don't think they really thing at all.
I think that when you're being duplicitous in that manner, you're tricking yourself. And so, like, she's tricking herself and he's tricking himself into believing that what they're doing is not a bad thing. They're rationalizing, right? So, in that same way, she's rationalizing why she's out going to these shows without Ariana. I'm sure she had to have thought. And I know that people like to say, she doesn't think about anything, which may be true to some extent, but she had to have thought about, like, what would, you know, if a fan comes up, what would they say? Because the likelihood of there being no Vanderpump Rules fans at these Tom Sandoval shows, regardless of whether they're opening for Yacht Rock Review or not, it's laughable. So you know that people are going to know who you are. In these outside of LA shows, like, people are going to ask what the fuck you're doing there. Where's Ariana? And I do want to know what Ariana thought, just because a lot of those shows, Raquel wasn't going with other cast members. She was going with, like, friends. So I want to know what, you know, was she maybe, you know?
I feel like, well, Ariana, we know in the show, she was going through a lot of shit.
She was.
So I feel like she probably wasn't mentally there to think anything of what was going on. You know, like, I'm sure, I don't even think they probably communicated about her, Raquel, going to these shows or anything like that. I feel like it was just something, she was there. Ariana didn't know that.
Yeah.
I feel like maybe then it would be something where it's like, oh, well, why are you at the show?
Or maybe Ariana was, like, feeling bad about not being able to be there for Tom and was like, you know what? Anybody that can go and support him while I can't, this is a big time in his life. Go out and support him, be there for him. I don't care. And she probably just didn't think twice about it.
That seems like it makes more sense, because that seems like something Ariana.
Yeah. Sounds like a really great supportive girlfriend would do.
But I just thought about something. Sorry to, like, go back.
No, derail.
Talking about how they would be out in public and not really thinking things through. There was, when Ali said that she saw them, I think this is the same story. She saw them.
Yeah.
And they acted like they were up to no good.
Yes. Yep. At the Abbey. Yep.
Yes. I'm just... So there, so we have that. They knew they were doing some sketchy shit.
Yeah.
But for me, it's just like, okay, but why are we continuing to go about it that way when if you get caught, you're going to act sketchy?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So you make yourself look bad. I mean, honestly, if I were out doing my thing like that, and like, God forbid, you know, but I would definitely not be going around to the places that people see me at, or maybe not out at all, since I'm in the public eye. Someone's bound to notice you.
Or, on that, maybe they are just so not self-aware as individuals that they don't realize how fucking sketchy they're acting. Like, you know how you can pick up on an energy from people? I'm wondering if they are like, oh man, we played that so cool, but meanwhile, they're like, running back and forth, doing backflips off the bar, like Raquel hides under the, you know, bus station or whatever, like,
no one saw.
And then they're like, nobody saw. Like, that's how I, because that's, because if they can't realize that they're being like that, like acting weird, and then continue to be as like brazen as they were seemingly being, you know, and let's take a quick break. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about the timeline, right? So, with the information that they went back from boys' night and fucked in the car, people are saying that's when it started. When we were talking off mic, you made such a great point that I want you to kind of elaborate on, basically saying like, yeah, but I think it started before.
Okay, so... Once again, I forget what it was that you sent me, but it was a video of, was it something from Sheena's show or whatnot that they were both on stage? It was from May.
Oh, give me more context.
Damn it, I need to find that video. But anyway, so here's my theory, okay?
Okay.
So the reason why I feel like this started way before what we were given as far as like after Lake Havasu is because I, like I said, I feel like all the guys on there have thought Raquel is attractive.
Mm-hmm.
And she's a pretty girl. I mean, she's not
objectively pretty. Yes.
And, you know, so there's that attraction that people naturally have towards somebody. But I feel like there's no way that from that trip to going to guys' night that they randomly just magically had these feelings enough to cross the boundaries of having sex with one another.
Right.
I feel like his attraction probably turned towards Raquel maybe when she was starting to stay with them.
Yeah.
Once her and James broke up and she was staying with them. And I feel like they all grew really close. And who can imagine like times where Ariana's not at home and it's just them and they're just bonding.
Yeah.
So I feel like there was an attraction that crossed a boundary.
Yeah.
That grew way before Lake Havasu.
Yeah.
Because honestly, if you're going to go that far, there has to be some kind of feelings that were involved way before then. You don't just get really fucking drunk and then start having sex with this girl who knows you've been in a relationship for 10 years.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like, I believe that it happened sooner. It may not have been physical, but I believe there was emotional attraction there because Raquel also was going through a hard time, and sadly enough, that's how we hear those stories. Like, well, she was going through a hard time, and, you know, you were out trying to figure out things with Katie about something about her, and you weren't really paying much attention to me, and, like, we kind of hear about that in what's to come in the season of him saying, like, we're having sex, like, 4 times a year. It's so, I think that, yeah, it was before Lake Havasu. I think that there was an emotional connection there. And with the timeline of how Ariana's dog passed away and her grandmother passing away, selfishly being Sandoval, he takes that as a moment for him to do whatever the fuck he wants.
Yeah.
Because he's hurt. And that's the problem with Sandoval. It's just like he, when he feels a certain way, he reacts based off of how he wants to do things and doesn't consider anybody else's feelings or like logically thinking about what's actually happening or taking the proper steps to dealing with how he feels.
Yeah. I think my theory is that they are using Lake Havasu incident after Boys' Night as the story that they want to go with as far as when the relationship started. Because I want to say I 100% believe that they fucked outside in the car, outside of the house. That's very on brand for what I'm getting from this whole thing. But I think that it started before. And I think that, like you said, an emotional bond had been created. I do think that some emotional boundaries were crossed. I can see Raquel having, so let's buy into this little schoolgirl crush that the girls on the different podcasts have been saying they thought it was. So she has this little crush and it's kind of cute, but Sandoval's eating that shit up because Ariana's absolutely not doing that shit for him. As she shouldn't, okay? And it's kind of cute and it's kind of fun and it's safe because in the context of, oh, well, I'm in a relationship. Oh, well, this is your friend. This is okay. But then also Raquel is feeling a certain type of way about how the girls are treating her and have always treated her. And this is before she slept with anybody's man. Lala hates her and does not make a secret out of it. Never made it. To her credit, never made a secret out of it. It's never been a secret. She called her a Bambi-eyed bitch. She called her a twat at the, she apologized for calling her a twat at the skating. But, you know, she's mean as hell to this man. And I don't know why. I mean, again, I hate to reduce women's feelings to jealousy, but there has to be some element of like threatened that Lala felt by Raquel whatever reason.
We kind of see that in the past. Her and James had a really tight relationship.
Yeah.
And when Raquel came into the picture, it was kind of just like, and also Lala was starting to be in a relationship. And I think that she was really playing for the cameras to make sure her man didn't see her doing stupid shit.
Yeah.
But I think that she was jealous at the fact that James had someone else that he was giving his attention to.
Yep.
So that's where I feel like it started. And
it just come because Lala doesn't have any kind of couth. She just lashes out whenever she can. She still does that sober, whatever. And I definitely want to talk to you about that in a little bit. Yeah. But, you know, she's always hated her, okay? So she's mean. Katie's mean, for God's sake. Katie, again, another one that just cannot help but be horrible. I don't even want to think about the things that Kristen and Stassi, like, I don't even want to think about it. I think that these women were horrible to Raquel, okay?
Yeah.
And I think that Tom kind of hates women a little bit. So I think that he was more than willing to be like the only one standing up for her, him and Ariana. However, Ariana has genuine friendships with these women. She kind of has to play the fence a little bit. She sees the good in everybody and she's not a misogynist, you know? So she's not going to like do the kinds of like over the top extreme things that Raquel's attracted to because, I mean, look at, she dated James Kennedy, for God's sake.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that Tom Sandoval, on top of talking shit about all these women, I'm sure he was more than happy to talk shit about James Kennedy. And I think that she felt very protected by Sandoval and very like, and he loved playing the, you know, Captain Save a Bitch role.
Yeah.
And it made him feel very useful. And I think that because he's not mature and he doesn't understand the conviction of a mature relationship, he, whatever he's going to come out and say was lacking in his relationship with Ariana, because things like constant affection and constant like ego striking, those are very futile things. And people are not going to do that forever. Raquel will not do that forever. She was not going to do it forever with James. So whatever. So he's feeling all of this. And so he's getting this ego piece fed by her that Ariana's not feeding in his mind. So I think that they crossed a physical boundary maybe once or twice over the course of several months. So there's a theory out there that something happened at Coachella. I tend to believe that. I believe that maybe like under the guise of Molly and whatever crazy drugs they're doing and they're at, you know, like, they like kind of, it's drunk, it's hazy, and Ariana's in the bathroom and their friends are at a different stage and they're doing whatever. And they just kind of look at each other and they like kiss for a minute and then it's over. Then I think something similar, maybe they don't get physical again at all. Or maybe something similar happens in the context of she's spending the night drunk at their house one night. Or they start to, and then it's like, no. We can't. And then Mondrian night happens and they're just like, fuck it, throw caution the one they fuck in the car. That's what I think happened. And then I think from that point, although an emotional affair had been carrying on and although they had gotten physical once before, and maybe they lied to themselves the whole time, you know, saying like, they were totally prepared to never let that information go in the first place. So that's probably why they will not cop to their timeline now.
Right.
But I think that that's where it started. And I think that they let it get messy and they let it get complicated and they got caught up in the drama of it because they lived their lives on a TV show. Yeah. And I think that from there, they went on. And so Sandoval has kept this narrative that like Ariana wasn't there for him and his whatever time of need you're in, that you're touring with a fucking cover band, you know, it's ridiculous. But now none of that is to excuse it.
Yeah.
It's just to explain it because I feel like people, too many people I've noticed, I mean, God bless them, but too many people have either never, they've only ever experienced one side of the coin. A lot of people have been cheated on. A lot of women have been cheated on. And a lot of men, a lot of people have been divorced. We see this in the way that people respond to the Katie and Schwartz thing. Maybe not a lot of people have been the other person. I have been. Now, granted, I was younger. I was 19, 18. Not that that's an excuse. Not a 40-year-old man. I do want to make that clear.
I
wasn't in a 10-year relationship.
Still in the teen.
I was in the teen. But, you know, I can rationalize it and I understand it from that side. And I was friends with the girlfriend in the situation. So I can put myself there and some people can't. And I think that it's important when we're trying to figure this out as we proceed, because there's going to be a point where the burnout hits everybody, right? With this whole story. And what's really going to matter, and we're going to get into the episode, Elena, I swear to God. But what's really going to matter is what we see at that reunion. Let me tell you something. I don't give a fuck about what Lala and James think. Like, I can kind of... The thing is, if I thought that James would have any tact, then I would maybe give him a minute just because that is your ex-fiance and you and Sandoval have this weird thing. Whatever.
Yeah.
But I certainly don't need to hear Lala because what came out the other day is that they spent hours yelling at Sandoval and Raquel. Not that it's not warranted, but the only person who I really want to hear from is Ariana. That's the only opinion that I'm particularly interested in hearing.
The person we haven't heard aside from her Instagram post, yep, the only person we haven't heard from who we need to hear from.
Yeah.
To hear.
Yeah.
And everybody else has been her mouthpiece, but it's just like, yeah, you can do all that. And I want to say Kristen has been the best mouthpiece.
Yeah.
I feel like out of all the times we've seen her or heard about her on camera or whatever, this has been the most mature we've heard from Kristen.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like she's telling the story how Ariana wants it to be told.
Yeah.
It's not Lala having her personal session of going off on Sandoval.
Right.
Because we love talking about this so much. It's
we
like,
do.
She is not doing that for Ariana now. It's like, yeah, there's probably like an out. But no, she's using this to backfire at Sandoval because she wants to be the person that says, I've been telling all you guys.
Yeah.
Okay, because you always speak on things that you really shouldn't.
Yeah.
You really shouldn't speak on. It's like, it would be okay if she didn't go about it the way she does.
Yeah.
The way she goes about it is as if her shit doesn't stink.
Yeah.
And it's like, but you did that.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, I don't want to hear about you.
Right, yeah. Now. Like, honestly, if she was able to come from a place of, like, having reflected on her life, I think that's why what Kristen has been saying is so impactful, is because you can tell in the way that she speaks about things that she has done meaningful work in her life. And this is not, I would hope, and I do believe based on other things that she has reflected more on her racist actions than Stassi did.
Stassi.
Damn it. But, and certainly more than Jax has done about a single thing based on his current actions. But you can tell that she's done deep reflections on, like, her own actions, taking accountability, and then also being able to reasonably reflect on how her relationship with Sandoval was toxic, and not just how he did her, but how she did him, if that makes sense. Yeah. Lala's coming at things from a very, it's just so crazy to me, man. It would, like,
I can't talk without having like a breakdown before we talk.
I have to smoke. Where's my like, I really, the way it would be like if you had a boyfriend right now and you found out that he'd been carrying on an affair with one of your friends, and then I was like, yeah, you know what? Fuck her. Also, buy my Who the Fuck Knows Emily Rose merch, because I said something like kind of cute once. That kind of applied. That's what she's doing. Does that benefit you at all? Does that help you? Does that promote you? No. Like, if to me, Lala, if you were really that, and then to get the bus, bro, like, it was like, I was, you know,
the bus, it was like a moving truck. It was a moving truck with LED light,
girl. I was like, what? Why did you do this? And she staged a pap walk.
She staged it because she asked. Wow, this is so cool. Like, yeah, you literally called it and they're like, okay, well, I'm going to be on the corner. Whatever.
Look for the fur bus from 1970s.
That's me. In my long peacoat.
Why was she wearing a peacoat? I have so many questions, bro.
What? But like, okay, so let's say, you know, well, she already put the merch out.
Yeah.
It's still annoying, but to me, it would have made it lighter if she was like, all the money's going to something about her, like,
yeah,
going towards Ariana's charity of her choice.
Like Ether Opal did.
Yep. Like, if you're going to profit off of the situation that's happening, go ahead and, like, at least try.
Yeah.
Try to, like, make it look like you're there for your friend. Like, we don't know how. We don't need to know how much money actually.
No.
But you sound real dumb right now, and you sound like you're just creating an opportunity for yourself.
And you know what's really interesting? So the reunion filmed Thursday. after the reunion, there's videos. Some of the cast members went out to a restaurant and Jax met up with them, Jesus. But it was Ariana, Katie, Sheena, and then a bunch of the other players in the game. But I noticed Lala was not there. And Lala has this like sappy ass Instagram live or slide or whatever where she's like, that was N10. And it was a lie. And then she snaps one of her clip-ins off and I heard the snap and I was like, yeah. And it was just like really weird. I was like, you could go out with them. And I'm sorry. Here I go. I don't want to hear about she had to go home to the fucking kid, okay? Because she's a single mom. She's not a single mom.
Gina also has a kid.
Gina has a kid. Everybody has. Brittany has a kid. These people make arrangements. Honey, you just bought a house next to Sheena in Palm Springs. You're good.
Right.
I just feel, and you have your mom. I just feel like who was watching the kid at the reunion? Not that, and that's just me making assumptions. I just thought it was interesting that all the other girls went out. Sheena and Katie seemed to be good. Like, everybody seemed to be good after the reunion. But you're at home making this sad ass. I just feel like you just did too much. I just already know she did too much. Fucking reunion.
Remember when you put the poll out about who you think got into the fight?
Yeah.
Okay. Hear me out.
Okay.
So when Ariana put her post on Instagram finally, I was actually going through the comments and maybe I missed it or something, but I really, Lala had commented.
Mm-hmm.
And so then we talk about the reunion and they say unexpected fight. I'm like, did Ariana go off on Lala? Like, did she, okay, we're just, because I know you love a good conspiracy.
Oh, I do.
And I'm thinking, like, I could see Ariana telling Lala to back off on all the stuff she's been saying. Like, she gave her the okay.
Mm-hmm.
Lala went in, and she was like, okay, not like that.
But not like that.
And then we hear Lala on podcast talking about, I just don't feel like she's ready for the energy that I have.
Yeah.
And so I feel like at the reunion, I feel like, you know, after the merchandise came out, I feel like maybe I could have been like, you have literally been a nightmare.
Yeah.
Like, I wanted you to be there as a friend. For me, it just seems like you used this opportunity to just run your mouth and say what you had to say because you never really cared for Sandoval after a certain...
Yeah.
So, well, I don't know. I kind of just thought about that. I was just like, what if, like, they got into an argument? I don't know if it'd be physical, though. That's the thing.
I can almost see Ariana going, like, well, voila. Honestly... You know, and like letting her real feelings out.
Yeah.
Like what you just said, you never really cared for Sandoval and it did kind of feel, and then Lala like jumping over her, talking over her, over explaining it. I don't think that they would have gotten physical because the article also said Ariana was very even tempered. She got like heated and cried and yelled at Sandoval and Raquel a couple of times, but that like overall she didn't get physical or get up or anything like that. So I don't know, but God, I wish someone would put her in her place.
She has a lot to say about things that
don't have shit to do with her.
It doesn't have shit to do with her. And it's just like she loves to chime in. Mm-hmm. But then when somebody, aka like a Charlie,
mm-hmm,
snaps back at her, she gets into like this, I think it's a defense mode for her.
Yeah.
Where she doesn't want to look stupid. Like when we saw last season where her and Charlie go back and forth, or maybe it was season 8, her and Charlie go back and forth. She's like, oh, you're trying to give them Lala. It's like, oh, whoa, she's just not going to take your shit.
Yeah.
It's not give. Believe me, no one wants to give them Lala like you do. But you're the only one that's going to give them Lala. Okay.
Don't worry, bitch. You're
like, girl, you got that covered. I just love, I mean, she gets into these arguments and then once somebody else has a better point than her,
mm-hmm,
it's either I'm going to talk over you, I'm going to Like, you, what you're saying is dumb,
mm-hmm.
or I'm just going to sit there and be like, wrap it up.
Yep.
Wrap it up.
Yep.
Like, okay. And that's what pisses me off about it. Like, I could have a little bit more respect for Lala and she known how to have an argument with people.
Yeah.
And allow someone else to speak.
Yeah.
Have their point and not be so defensive about everything. Like, you want to sit there and point out truths about people. But when they throw it right back at you,
she cannot clap back to save her life.
It's a problem. I'm like, that's what pisses me. Like, you have a lot to say, but you can't allow someone else to say something back to you.
And you won't hit. So what is the point of all of this? This is ridiculous. Girl, if you're gonna put all this energy into it, buck up. Right. Like, really, like...
Yeah, she says she's more about action, but...
She didn't take action for shit.
Do the action.
Unless she's hiring an LED bus to drive around the block. God, it's so corny. Okay. Well, this is a great place to get into the episode.
Lighten up your life, pal. Lighten up your life. Wait. Lighten up your life, pal. Lighten up your life. There's no end of it when you're like, tell me what's